Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The pandemic has changed what we view as normal in a lot of ways. It's closed bars, restaurants, and also put a hush on music and arts venues across Milwaukee. Concerts and big events aren't conducive to reducing the spread of coronavirus, and online performances present revenue challenges. Lake Effect recently launched a new series called Pandemic Performers, where we're highlighting some of the work coming from Milwaukee artists, performers, and venues at a time when many of us are still isolated. Kelsey Kaufman has been involved in the music and arts scene in Milwaukee since she was a kid. She became the owner of the bar and event space, Cactus Club, in February, right before everything shut down. Kaufman spoke to Lake Effect's Becca Schimmel about what the club and local artists have been doing since the pandemic put a halt on live in-person events.
It's been a real whirlwind of everything feeling like it came to a screeching halt, and then simultaneously trying to start 100 new projects. And so what was really important that we wanted to center still was like the music and the arts of it. And it took a few months for us to try and figure out this live streaming business, which is a whole new world as somebody that doesn't identify as very like tech oriented. But I'm super fortunate that I have a dear friend and collaborator, Max, in Chicago, who's been instrumental, and a dear friend and collaborator, Ken, who's in Madison. So as like this sort of goofy team, we've compiled this digital dream program. So several nights per week, we're doing film screenings, concerts, DJ sets, and then we're starting to do some like lectures and skill shares. And so that's been really fun. And 100% of donations for the actual events will go directly to the artists. But if you want to support the ideas of the programming, we have a Pay What You Can Patreon. So if you miss the live stream, you can have access to the entire catalog of events, which is kind of exciting. And it feels like such a new, weird way to host and organize events. But at the same time, we're in a time of experimentation and figuring out what makes sense. So it's been a real whirlwind. But in addition to that, we're also doing like carry out hours. So it kind of feels like a bodega. And we're also relearning how to do our own printing. So the back room, which is normally like the live room where the concerts take place, we've been screen printing koozies and sweatshirts and all sorts, and making buttons and like all sorts of sort of ragtag hustles to try and keep everything together.
What role does the club play in the arts community, especially for those new and emerging artists?
It's funny, I've gotten that question a few times recently. I always stutter because I don't want to be like, we're this iconic establishment where all these things have happened over the years, which is true, but there's also a number of other really fantastic venues. So I definitely feel like we're one cornerstone in a scene that has a lot of very like-minded, supportive individuals. There's a lot of great small venues in Milwaukee and a lot of exciting projects. But as far as what is Cactus Club's role in the scene, to actually answer your question, it's exciting because we're a place where people can play their first shows that have never played on a stage before, and it maybe is on a Tuesday instead of a Saturday, but in terms of accessibility, that's like super important to us, is that like, if you reach out, I might not get back to you via email the first time or the second time, but if you show up and we have this conversation, I always want to like make those things work, and there's always a way to make these kinds of things work. But at the same time, more established Milwaukee bands use Cactus Club to do their album release shows. And like, it's a cherished place in that kind of, where it's like a spot of celebration. And then at the same time too, some of our favorite international bands will play Cactus Club as opposed to some of the other bigger venues because of its history and its like culture here. So it's definitely, Cactus wears a lot of different hats for a lot of different types of folks. And that's something we're proud of.
And what kind of artists come to Cactus Club? Is it musicians? Is it spoken word poets? You know, what do you guys see?
So mostly concerts are historically like performing musicians has been the lion's share of what we've done. But in the last year, we've definitely opened the door to filmmakers in a greater capacity. About a year and a half ago, Anika, who works here, started Poetry Happy Hour on Saturdays. And it was like a once a month matinee style, curated by a few local individuals. And we're gonna hopefully start a digital series with that as well in September. So it's mostly music. However, there are these options for other types of programming.
Can you tell me a little bit about yourself as an artist and, you know, how, like, what Cactus Club means to you and how you interact with this community?
For sure. I've been playing drums in various bands since I was in middle school. I begged my parents for a drum kit and immediately started playing in dorky pop punk bands. And when I was in high school, I started touring regionally and playing at Legion halls and community centers and basements and more renegade venues. And for me, that's how I was exposed to not only all sorts of really exciting people, but lots of different ideas, and became really infatuated with the idea of touring and traveling and absorbing all these different like cultures and ideas. And that's kind of how I got into it. So I still drum in a couple of different bands in Milwaukee, but definitely see myself more as a behind the scenes connector than somebody who's constantly producing my own work.
What have you as an artist been doing to continue sharing your work during the pandemic?
My artistry has been put on super hold. So my entire focus has been trying to keep Cactus Club afloat. And I say that both with pride and with fear, because I'm one venue that's in a very unique circumstance because of the timing. I didn't qualify for a lot of like the PPP money that other venues did, which still wasn't adequate for these other venues. But because of the timing, I'm a new legal entity. The old owner owned it as a sole proprietor. I started an LLC, so on paper, government's like, what is this new place? Who cares? Even though we've been doing stuff for 30 years. So my creative energy has kind of shifted into printmaking for Cactus Club in the form of shirts and sweatshirts. We just did koozies, doing thank you notes to folks that have been contributing to either the Patreon or the GoFundMe. So that's kind of been the last few months, my kind of cathartic outlet, if you will. But for other folks, which I know you asked about, like, how are other folks participating? I don't think there's a right way. I guess it feels important to say there's not a right way during this time to either create or not create. Everyone is trying to cope in the best way they know how, which, because this is unprecedented, we don't even know what that looks like. And it can look like so different, so many different things any day. But some folks have been really prolific and putting out tons of material. And I think it's an exciting time to put out material, because the general public has nothing else to do but consume. And so everyone is thirsty for something that they can relate to or something that resonates with them. And so I do think there's a heightened sense of attention on new releases right now. But for other folks, they're like, I have no inspiration, I have no motivation, or I feel like there's so many more important causes right now outside of my own sort of creative process that my attention and energy needs to be diverted in this way, which I think is also super on point and rad. So yeah, I mean, there's not a really good clean answer, but folks are definitely responding.
And you said you've moved some things to online or doing virtual events and virtual live events. Have you seen a lot of participation or response from the arts community in Milwaukee?
Totally, it's been really exciting. So with our digital programming, we started hosting live streams through a Vimeo channel. And so during the Vimeo live events, they're all free, donate what you can to the artist style. And it's been a really exciting experiment and beautiful in its vulnerability, where artists are learning how to use this technology while we're learning how to use this technology. And it requires a great deal of trust, which is pretty cool to see how, or like, yeah, see the responses of artists being like, yeah, let's do it. I don't totally know what this means, but like, let's try it out. If you can walk me through it, if we can learn together, let's do it. But both artists and the general populace of Greater Milwaukee and folks really across the world, I mean, it's neat. Folks who have been reaching out and supporting Buying Merch or participating virtually in these events, I think are excited by the idea of people doing anything right now. Like the idea of like something to plug into, and like whether or not you're sitting at your house staring at your phone for it, I don't think that's the point. But I think it's more so to support one another as we try and learn and grow and figure out what feels good and makes sense. For me, it's confusing, like digital programming. It doesn't scream to me as appealing because I'm on my phone and on my computer all day already. So like, oh, another thing to look at on my phone, great. However, it is exciting that you can put on somebody's DJ set and not engage with your phone. And yes, you can. There's a visual component to it, but the excitement of like, oh damn, I haven't heard this song in so long, or oh, this is really nice, what is this? And then being able to reach out to folks and ask, I think that's part of where we derive fulfillment through these like creative practices. And like, that's what gives us a sense of like direction and excitement and nourishment or satiation, you know?
The thing that gets to me is, I wonder, has it been interesting and kind of exciting to see people experiment more with this new virtual platform and having to do that?
Totally. And that's one thing. Thank you for asking that. That's been kind of cool to emphasize in our original reach outs to artists is at this time you could do your regular set like you would have done a year ago. Or if you have this side project, or if you have this tangential idea, what could that look like? And like, how can we have fun with that? And so Marielle Alschwang a couple weeks ago did a live performance where she did an all vocal rendition of an EP she wrote during the Ford Kavanaugh hearings. And the EP wasn't all vocal, it had instrumentation, but this edition she did for the live stream was all vocal with this minimal vocal loop. And it was so eerie and so beautiful. And she had like lighting, it's obviously all of these recordings are done remotely. So from people's living rooms or basements or backyards or whatever. And so she had this lighting that kind of went in conjunction and it was really stunning. And so it was exciting to see like, yes, in this moment of such transition and turmoil and uncertainty that we can use this time to uplift these like kind of far out ideas that we might not otherwise make space for. So I think that's real.
Yeah, that seems like that would be a really cool part of it, is to see like, what can we do and what will people do with this new platform?
Totally. And when the pandemic first, when it first began, when it first popped off, Cactus Club launched this music video series where we called for musicians to participate, submit your songs, created this database of submitted songs, and then asked for filmmakers or non-filmmakers alike if they'd create music videos for this database. So you pick a song that you either like or feel a type of way about, and it could be with archival material, it could be with animation, it could be with random B-reel footage that you took on your phone last summer when you were on a boat or like when you were walking down the street that was super zoomed up on insects or like super zoomed up on what have you. So the premise of the project was, how do we use this time to learn new things, to escape, but also to explore tools that otherwise we wouldn't, again, make time for in our regular day-to-day. So I do think for those that have the capacity to do so, projects like that can be really fun.
How has the pandemic affected Cactus Club economically?
It's been devastating. I mean, frankly, we're in a very desperate position where the lion's share of our normal life revenue is from beverage sales, because the lion's share of the ticket sales go to the artists that are performing. The way that we have our model set up is very artist centered. And so whereas bigger venues might take half of the ticket sales for themselves, and that's how they've constructed it, for smaller venues of our size, it's not realistic. Being closed and not having regular business is devastating for venues, and we need the government to step in for relief. So right now the Restart Act, the Encores Act, the Save Our Stages Act are like all in this ether of debate, which anyone who's been paying attention knows is like very complicated and isn't looking so hot. But there is a case to be made that music is a bipartisan or whatever issue, and like that arts matter to us all in different ways, obviously, but that these kinds of venues are such cornerstones of local culture and that they need to be preserved.
And what has the conversation around compensation for artists been like with these virtual events? And that can sometimes make it a lot harder to make money. And it really seems to bring that conversation up again.
Transparency around finances for these types of things is so important to me. And it's really hard to get people to talk about in general money. It's like such a issue. We're really fortunate because we have years of this trust built up from our relations with local artists or artists nationally that we've been working with, that so far the conversations have basically been, we can give you this platform, I can't guarantee you anything, but for folks that are watching, they can donate whatever they like and you get 100% of it. So there's no gray area there. It goes 100% to the artist. If you're comfortable with that arrangement, let's do it. If you're not, no harm, no foul. It makes sense. We are all struggling to figure out what's fair and makes sense. And I would love if I could offer guarantees to folks, but it's just not real life.
As far as you know, what have artists you would normally see performing at Cactus Club been doing in light of the pandemic?
In light of the pandemic, artists that normally would be at Cactus are, there's so many different responses to it, as we discussed earlier. So it's like folks that, Daniel Romano, for instance, I think has written 10 records since the start of the pandemic, and is just like prolifically putting out material. Whereas like other folks are using their platform to spread awareness about racial inequity and the uprisings and social justice. And so it varies so drastically based on the convictions and social locations of artists that feels impossible for me to try and summarize. But there are a lot of folks putting out a lot of really great music. There are some folks that are taking to virtual concerts. And I think different genres lend themselves better and worse to virtual concerts. I think full band, especially like full loud band ensembles, it doesn't translate nearly as well as Americana duet. And so, or an MC, for instance. And so I think electronic music, hip hop, folk music are way more geared or conducive, if you will, to live streams. Whereas bigger ensembles, it's been, I've seen less concerts. I've seen more maybe exclusive merchandise offerings. I've seen more like contests and more maybe recording footage and like behind the scenes action that way. But artists are scrappy. We're all just trying to figure out what to do and make sense of it.
So are there some changes you all have made during this time that you've benefited from and that you could see yourself continuing once things get back to whatever normal is?
Absolutely. I definitely see the virtual programming as a very exciting, accessible means for people to engage and participate. So even with our film screenings, which we keep up on the website for 1 week as publicly accessible, and then after the 1 week, they go onto the Patreon archive. I think that's a really exciting, super easy way to give artists a platform that friends of ours who've moved out of state or folks that are maybe older and have mobility issues and can't go out to events all the time, but are like, I wanna know what's going on down there. I mean, I had an old film professor who I didn't know lived two blocks away send me a very sweet message like, hey, if there's any way I could help out with programming, I would love to do so, which to me is like the most affirming sort of engagement about the whole thing, or interaction. Like, that's what we're so thirsting for. So I think virtual programming or digital programming in some capacity will for sure continue. We've also tried to convert our driveway to be appropriate, responsible, socially distant seating options. So my friend Hannah surprised us with 3 picnic tables. And so we're slowly trying to make that a little prettier instead of just a driveway with big garbage cans, as you would think a venue's driveway kind of looks like. So I think that will hopefully continue as an option for additional seating. And we put a speaker outside that's not very loud, but just kind of adds some street ambiance when we are doing carryout hours. So I think little adjustments like that will carry over. In addition, I guess it's really important to highlight too that NIVA, which is the National Independent Venue Association, has done an incredible job of bringing together folks from venues across the country. So I do think a lot of these relationships will be intact on the other side of this, which is really cool and a silver lining to all of the hardship.
What has been the hardest part for you and for the venue during this pandemic?
I think the uncertainty has been the hardest part. I think initially I was confident that we would have no problem making it 2 weeks of being closed. And then it felt like, okay, 2 months, I got 2 months, we got it. Or we can make it to the end of the summer, no big deal, we're very scrappy, we have all these different plans and programs we're juggling. But I think right now the most difficult part of the pandemic's not the absence of music, it's not, even though it is still very hard, like the absence of like friendships and socializing, but I think the uncertainty of how long this is gonna last, and then the frustration with folks that are being so careless in the face of this. And so I think that's the hardest part, is knowing that there's no certainty of how long this will last. And with that, like, what does that mean in terms of like, how long can we keep the ship afloat? Or like, what does that look like in terms of financials? Yeah, that's really scary. There's like, yeah, no way to kind of package that in a pretty way. It's just really scary.
And to end on kind of a good note, what has made you hopeful during this pandemic?
The youth make me hopeful. The uprisings make me hopeful. Folks coming together for mutual aid in so many different capacities makes me hopeful. Like, shout out to Ayuda Mutua. I'm probably butchering the pronunciation, but it's a Southside mutual aid group that's been feeding hundreds of families every week. And it's run by Sebas and Jeanette and a whole crew of people that are just like killing it. And they're doing it because they know it's what they want to be doing and know that there's a need. And it's like, that's what matters. Like, at the end of the day, it's like people looking out for each other, you know? So that's for sure what gives me hope. And like, folks that are continuing to put out inspiring music and folks that are continuing to like stand in conviction of what they believe in. So there's a lot of beauty amidst all of the chaos and hellscape and whatever.
Thank you so much for talking to me and for telling me more about how the arts community and the Cactus Club community has been responding and interacting during this really challenging time.
Absolutely. Thanks for reaching out. And when you get to Milwaukee, don't be a stranger.
Kelsey Kaufman is the owner of Cactus Club in Milwaukee. She spoke with Lake Effect's Becca Schimmel as a part of our series, Pandemic Performers.